Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is lecture number 5 in our verse by verse study through Genesis. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin our study today in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Cain means, I've got him. God promised man a redeemer back in Genesis 3:16. Eve thinks Cain is the guy. Boy, was she wrong. She thought she was holding the Savior in her arms, when in reality she was holding a future murderer. Verse 2. Later she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. Boy, don't believe the lie that the earliest humans were cave-dwelling hunters who ate raw meat. Here you have two of the earliest human beings, both with normal-type jobs. One was a farmer, the other was a shepherd. Both of these occupations were good, honest work. But that's about all these two boys had in common. Verse 3. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. God, by slaying those two animals last time, and clothing Adam and Eve with their skin, taught that innocent blood must be shed to pay for man's sin. But the offerings here were not a sacrifice for sin. And so Cain's bloodless offering was not a problem. They both brought some of the wages from the work that they did, which is perfectly fine. But notice the last part of verse 4. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and on his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And the issue wasn't lambs versus vegetables. To say that God rejected Cain's offering because it was bloodless is to destroy the principle of tithing. Abel's offering pleased God because it was the firstling of his flock. In other words, his gift to God was a top priority with him. Cain's offering was just an offering. Well, you know, I might as well grab a few cucumbers, take them over to God. I know it's expected, so I might as well get it over with. Well, God's response was, keep it, Cain. I don't want it. Last part of verse 5. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Cain was angry because God didn't accept his offering. Well, he didn't want to give it in the first place. He gave it out of a sense of religious obligation, and then God didn't receive it, naturally. Well, God didn't receive it because Cain didn't want to give it. God was rejecting Cain because Cain was rejecting God. We get out of our relationship with God what we put into it. 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? God is trying to get Cain to confess. Cain was angry and feeling rotten because he was disobeying God. And if he doesn't get a handle on his attitude through repentance and confession, it's going to get worse. Verse 7. If you do what is right, will there not be a lifting up? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. God did not tell Cain to go with his feelings. God told him to master his feelings. You know, many Christian counselors and even many Bible preachers these days say that in order to do what is right, you must feel right. You can't do right until you feel good about yourself. God never says anything like that. God says just the opposite. He says, if you do right, Cain, then you will start to feel right. Verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Cain saw how Abel killed an animal as an offering to God, and now he kills his brother as an offering to himself. Cain was the god of his own life. Nothing was more important to Cain than himself. And since his brother's holiness was making him feel bad about himself, he murdered him. Verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? God knew where he was. Again, he's just trying to get Cain to confess. Why? So that he can forgive him. You see, even after committing the sin of murder, there was hope for Cain if he would only confess. So the Lord says, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain lies to God. I don't know where my brother is. Then to top it off, he smarts off to God. Well, that was the last straw. That was the straw that broke the camel's back right there, because you don't treat the God of the universe with such contempt and get away with it. So look at verse 10. The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. God gave Cain plenty of opportunities to repent, but Cain wasn't interested. Instead of confessing, he sassed. As a result, God pronounced judgment. 12. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. The curse on Cain was the curse on Adam, only amplified. It would be hard work for Adam to get food to grow. Remember, that's what God said his punishment was. It wouldn't grow at all for Cain. Adam was kicked out of paradise. Cain would wander. Cain's sin was worse, and he knew what sin had done to his parents, and so he had more spiritual light than his parents. Therefore, his punishment was more severe than theirs. That's the way it works. 13. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Cain is the epitome of self-centeredness. He rejects God's efforts to keep him from sin. Then he rejects God's effort at reconciliation, so he is punished. And now he complains that God is being unfair. How self-centered can you be? 14. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Cain, your sin has driven you mad. His thinking is out of control. His guilt has led to paranoia. He is really losing it quickly. 15. But the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. God wins the gold medal for grace and mercy. He protects Cain from vigilantes. He protects Cain even though Cain sinned, smarted off, and never did confess his sin, never did repent. 16. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Well, Cain got exactly what he wanted. He didn't want God in his life, and so God gave him exactly what he wanted. He lived without God. He evidently died without God, and so for 6,000 years he's been burning in hell without any comfort from God. God doesn't force himself on anyone. 17. Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mahujael, and Mahujael was the father of Methusael, and Methusael was the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women, one named Ada and the other Zilhah. Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play the harp and flute. Zilhah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of iron out of bronze and iron, forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. Now, Cain's descendants, it is clear, were just like Cain. They were totally secular. There is absolutely no mention of God or the worship of God among Cain's descendants. They filled their lives with things. They filled their lives with their work and entertainment. And there isn't anything wrong with those things, but they become a problem when they are your whole life, even to the exclusion of God. 23. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zilhah, "Listen to me, wives of Lamech. Hear my words." Now, there's another problem here. Cain's offspring, Lamech, had two wives. Some people say, well, when did God change his mind about people only being able to have one wife? He never changed his mind because he never said that was okay. In fact, he made it clear back in Genesis 2:24 that it was supposed to be one man and one woman. When you have a secular society like Cain's and his descendants, you're going to throw justice right out the window. And that's what happened here. Notice what he says in the last part of that verse, 23. He says to his wives, "I killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me." Throw justice right out the window when God isn't in society. If Jesus isn't Lord in a nation, then there's either going to be a liberal leniency where criminals aren't punished the way they should be, or they're going to be punished beyond what their crime deserves. One of the two. And that's what's happening here. Lamech killed a young man for striking him. That's not justice. That's not self-defense. That's excessive force. And he's boasting about it. 24. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. In other words, he says, it's okay for me to do what I did, but no one better try to get revenge against me. Verse 25. Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, "God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him." Seth also had a son and named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. And so the world was going downhill quickly, spiritually speaking. But in the middle of that secular society, God had a remnant of people who lived for him and worshipped him. Seth, the son of Adam and Eve, replaced Abel as the godly son. And the line of Christ our Lord can be traced from Seth through the pages of Scripture right down to Joseph and Mary. And we will see that as we go through the Bible. And we will continue to do that next time. Until then, Michael Moret. So long, everyone.